Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
little white balls life.
I'm your host Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host T-Bone. How are you doing, T-Bone?
Not too shabby. I was about to cough right when you were cueing me in for the little white balls life, but I'm glad we got past it and we're ready to roll. Maybe not ready to roll. Maybe a little Masters hangover. It's kind of that day after Christmas feel sometimes, but ready to roll.
Ready to go roll. As I probably also should have said, hello friends, and welcome to the 88th edition of the Masters recap episode. Man, what a week. Masters week, phenomenal. It definitely feels like the day after Christmas. We're actually coming to you a day later than we usually do. Ironically, T-Bone and I were both sick yesterday. So that's the thing with me. You know, when you got kids in the house, when they get sick, you get sick. It's very much a thing. So I've learned. But T-Bone, I don't know about you. Maybe you're just too hungover, literally. But it's fine.
So what's bad is everyone knows I'm a golfer, so everyone in the office assumed that was the case. And that I indulge in some beverages, sure, but man, I don't know what hit me. It was brutal.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just the golf gods. I don't know, but I was hurting big time. And yeah, it was a rough Monday for sure.
Well, T-Bone, I love that you're repping some Roback, friends of the pod, Roback. Go check out they're not a sponsor, we're just big fans. Hey, if we get the listenership up, I think they'll love to sponsor us. But they've been guests on the podcast. But yeah, that being said, we want to throw out some our sponsors in the description below. Chip Golf, Drinking Buddy, Paisley House, and Waterloo Turf. Again, go check them out there.
And if you want a good throwback episode, go check out the interview with the Roback founders.
Yeah.
That was a hot minute ago, but that was a little guest gift from our guests. I don't think we had any gifts to offer them, unfortunately, but brand. And we'll have to get them back to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of them have started to have kids too. Their business is obviously rocking and rolling. I'm super involved with a bunch of different major brands, Barstool being a notable one, as well as a few others. I mean, I feel like I see them everywhere. People at work, class. Again, we're just big fans and great people as well. The founders are fantastic. They're actually up on our YouTube channel too, so that's why you go subscribe, go deep in the archives. They're there as well as audio podcast versions. So if you're listening on podcasts, go and leave those 5 stars while you're there. But T-Bone, let's dive into it, man. The 88th edition of the Masters. Scottie Scheffler, man. Scottie freaking Scheffler. Just what a week. What an absolute week. And look, we could talk about our sidebar conversations that we were having over the weekend, but here's my takeaway. The guy is on an absolute heater. He is playing some of the best golf. It reminds me a little bit of Spieth's run in 2015 when he just went on an absolute tear. A lot of people are comparing him to Tiger, at least in his play, because Scottie's the only person. Only two people have ever won the Players and the Masters in the same year, and that's Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler is the only person to win the Players back-to-back years. So it's all these Tiger comparisons starting to creep, but we need to pump the brakes a little bit because when it comes to Tiger, at least, Scheffler's 27. By the time Tiger is 27, he already had 8 major championships. Scottie has 2 green jackets and 2 majors.
Holy
shit. Yeah, maybe it was 8, if not more. So that's why I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on the Tiger comparisons and compare maybe more the Spieth's run in 2015. But there's absolutely no doubt about it. He is on an absolute tear right now, wins by 4. And frankly, he didn't even play his best golf. That's the crazy part. He was dominant. It was a fantastic week from start to finish, par 3 contest all the way through Sunday. Before the back 9, because then we'll talk about what happened there. But Scottie broke away, wins by 4. It was a great week and overall a great Masters tournament. T-Bone, what were your initial thoughts of just the week altogether?
And Scottie. So I don't want to get too much on a side note, but before I get Before I forget, I do want to touch on the Tiger comparisons have been pretty nonstop, and it's hard not to compare with how good he's playing. But I think Barstool posted the I guess basically the best runs in golf since Tiger, and one of the best ones was Spieth. It was that 2015 year, and it just shows you how good and how long Tiger's, performance was, how long he was able to do that, basically. And it also makes you think, if you're Scotty, I mean, there's no way he's thinking this, but man, use it while you can. Use every ounce of it, because you could be Jordan Spieth in a few years. Not to say Jordan Spieth is washed up and will never be back, but man, it's crazy with golf, the how it can come and go, and while it's working, just ride it out. But the one other thing about Scotty, I think if you take away that, what, 8 foot putt at the Houston Open, he has 4 wins and 4 starts. So you're right, absolute heater. Doesn't have to have his A game. I mean, I didn't want to pick him going into the Masters, but you had to. You had to pick him, and by and far the best golfer in the tournament. I didn't. I thought maybe Rom here and there, but we talked a little bit. We were right. I don't know if we're always right, but I think the reps during LIV had such a big impact in this. But again, overall, I was sitting there on Sunday, watch ready for the back nine, and I wasn't necessarily rooting for or against Scotty, but I said, man, I at least want some action. Like, give me something. And Ludvig had. So let's go to Scotty's group first. I believe he's up one on Morikawa going into nine.
Yeah, I
Maybe
think
two.
at one point
I think he's up one.
I think at one point early on Sunday, I think they were all tied at six. Morikawa, Ludvig, Homa, and Scotty. And that's when I was like, all right, let's get your popcorn. Like that's what I was wanting. That's what I said the last episode. I just wanted excitement, right? And I think that's what a lot of people were looking for. But as we found out, we didn't get that. So sorry, please continue.
So I think they both birdied eight, and it was a one shot difference going into nine. Scotty pulls off just a fucking amazing approach shot. I at that point I wanted to go in, but tap in bird, Colin makes double. So it is 4 shots going into the back nine. I go, Colin has to beat him by 4 shots. Has to beat him by 5 shots to win outright and 4 shots to tie on 9 holes against Scottie Scheffler. It's like, this is not happening. This is never happening. And then about 10 minutes later, Ludvig hits it in the water on 11. And I'm just kind of like, I don't like to see anyone blow the tournament, but I at least want it competitive. And I'd be surprised if it gets competitive from here. And, kind of a bittersweet ending. But again, I mean, by far the best player, wasn't even close going in the back nine, really, and he's the man. But it just, I had that moment. I was like, is Colin going to beat Scotty by 4 shots in the back nine? No shot in hell.
No. And then, after Ludvig doubles 11, hits it in the water. Who was in second place at that point? Max Homa. But then what happened on
That's the other one.
12 was criminal. That was, oh, I felt so bad for him because he did the right thing. He's seen too many highlights. He remembers Spieth in 16 and everybody else, Finau, everybody who hit in the water on 12. You don't go after that right pin on 12. So he plays the middle of the green and his ball like hit a trampoline or something like that. It just hit concrete and scooted off. Had to take that unplayable. Yeah, that was tough. And then on a side note, to your point about Morikawa making double on 9, that was a bad double bogey. That was a bad double bogey. He was in a little bit of trouble, but man, that just shows that Augusta, when you get too cute with it and you're short-sighted or on the wrong side of the green, whenever you put yourself in a bad spot, double can just creep in so fast. And that double sucked. Ludvig, I mean, I don't want to say inexperienced, but like what else? Like it was maybe poor execution is probably a better term. because that was his first ever major championship. Period. He had played in Ryder Cups before, his first ever major start, and then still finishes solo second. That's so impressive. So, look, I mean, there's a lot of great takeaways for Ludwig. I think that's just advantage Augusta National at that point. And he's going to learn, he'll develop. But man, that guy's going to win some majors with how talented he is. It's crazy. But right now, it is Scottie Scheffler season. He just did everything right. Like, and then I think early on Sunday, too, his ball striking was a little off. I think he touched on it. He was hitting pretty good shots, but maybe they were just scooting too far, or maybe he's just putting in wrong positions. But that shot on nine changed everything. I really think that. And he said that too, that he finally hit it good. It went the right distance. Tap in birdie. Game over.
And then he birdied 10 too, right?
Yeah, he had it tight on 10 as well. And dude, if you can birdie 10, like it's over. It's over at that point. Because even still, it's just like knowing the course. If you birdie 10 or even par 10, you have a 2 or 3 shot lead. On 11, you can spray it out, right? Take your bogey at worst case scenario. Who cares? Just don't bring water in the play. You know, Jack Nicklaus likes to say that Augusta is a 6 shot golf course. And that shot on 11 is one of them. That shot on 12, the tee on 12, that's a shot. And then one of the other ones is like the second shot on 15, the par 5. If you can execute those, at least on the back nine, you got it. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, and if you think of all those other guys, they made mistakes on those holes. Colin in the water on 11, Ludwig in the water on 11, and Max in the shit on 12.
Yeah.
Scotty bogeyed 11, but bogey helped and all the
Exactly.
other stuff he did on 9 and 10. So I think that's a good point. Experience, skills, it was all better.
It was impressive. It really was. So even just starting at the beginning of the week, you know, there were some rain delays to start off the week. So that was tough. Bryson DeChambeau was in the mix. Haven't seen his name out in the wild out there in a while. He kind of fell off, and he kind of talked about it a little bit, but he really struggled on the greens, and you could see that. He really struggled on the greens. I think he'll learn and grow. You know, Augusta National, he was talking about the yardage books. He doesn't get the same putting yardage greens with the slopes on it. So, as a guy who's so mechanical as him, it's more feel based. And so, with experience, he'll, I think he's figured out how to play the course from tee to green. But once he figures out those greens, like he could easily slip on a green jacket. That's what this week proved to me. But, you know, while when
I
everybody else
think
faded, Scotty remained the same, even on those tough conditions on Friday. Dude, how tough was that? On Friday, that wind that was blowing, that was nuts. And then he just hung
I
around
think a lot
and
of people are saying they shouldn't have played. A
yeah, that's what Ron was saying.
lot of people are saying they shouldn't have should yeah, Rom was saying they shouldn't have even played. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think I want to give Bryson a little bit of credit. I would like to think he grew up from this is a par 66 or par 67 for me, and he's realizing that it's actually a really tough course.
Yeah.
He didn't have, I think, at least I didn't hear a lot of, par 67, I hit my driver this far or whatever. I think he was legit just trying to prove himself, and he played really well. I was a little worried. I will be disappointed if and when he wins a green jacket, but I'll give him a little bit of cred. He's not calling it a par 67 anymore. I think he's grown up a little bit, so
Yeah, he backtracked
I'll
on
give
that
him some
comment.
credit there.
So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know what else. I did love the memes or the comments that are like the only person who could stop Scottie Scheffler right now is Meredith Scheffler having the baby. And I mean, we were joking at one point, like on the back nine on Sunday, if Meredith does go into labor, like just don't make that phone call. Just don't make that phone call. You can slow the process down or speed it up. It's fine. They have technology ways for that. It's okay. Make sure he wins, signs that scorecard, and then bring him home. But yeah, that was great. I don't know what else more to say about Scheffler before we move on from it. He's just, you never leave the table on a heater. He's on a heater. And right now, until further notice, he's the betting favorite for every tournament, in my opinion.
Yep, absolutely. Sounds like he wasn't in too much of a rush because you got to, looks like you got some face time at the local Dallas
Is it the tavern? What
what was
which
it
one was
called?
that?
I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. It's gonna bother me. But local dive bar. Anyways, I always like to see the green jacket out in the wild and at a
Inwood
local
Tavern.
dive bar. It's always a good spot. Inwood
Inwood
Tavern.
Tavern. Yeah. No,
Nice.
man, seeing a green
Nice.
jacket out in the wild is so cool. That's like one of the
Yeah.
coolest things.
I think some other storylines I kind of hinted at it a little bit. I think Rom's interesting. I think he finished plus five at the halfway point, making the cut on the number. And I think he's got to be thinking like, this merger better happen quick because this money is not worth it if I can't stay sharp and I've got to play 54 holes of team golf. Like, all the money in the world can't be worth it right there. And he probably didn't realize it until right there. And it was kind of nice to stick it to Liv this week. I don't think anyone finished that close, maybe Bryson. But I think just over time this is gonna matter more and more. So that was cool. And I guess the other Liv thing is disrespect to Greg Norman. Jesus, can
Oh.
someone not get this guy some tickets? I mean, he's getting GA out there all week. I think even Freddie Couple said something like, can someone seriously not get this guy a ticket? And he was like, Shark, hit me up. I can get you tickets. Like, I don't even think he was trying to say it in a malicious way, just trying to help him out. But like, man, that was pretty funny. Man, who's the more hated commissioner? Jay Monahan or Greg Norman?
Oh man. Man, that's a good question. That's a real good question. Overall hatred, I would say Greg Norman. But Greg Norman, I think, is somewhat predictable. It's the
Yeah.
devil you know versus the devil you don't. Like
Little
Greg Norman,
recency
you know what you're gonna
bias
get.
with
Like,
Jay.
yeah, Monahan tries to be the nice guy, take the high ground. Moral high ground in the past. And he's just, I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think Greg's a bad guy either. I think Greg's just more self-interested, but I think he's a bit more honest in his dealings right now. Yeah.
That's an interesting one, but
Let's see, who
anyways,
else?
what else we got?
Aberg, Ludwig, Auberg. I say Aberg. Oberg, Oberg, excuse me. I'm great
Aubert.
with pronunciations. Ludwig
Isn't
Oberg,
it Aubert?
Ober, whatever. You get the point. Man, second place, first ever major, electric dude. He's gonna be a problem. That guy's gonna be a problem in a good way on the PGA Tour. It's gonna be a problem for the Ryder Cup, for Team USA. He's so good. He's young. That golf swing is fantastic. I mean, he played great because even after that, I'm looking at a scorecard, that double on 11, he bounced back pretty strong, birding 13, birding 14. He didn't par he and then parred out from there, but still finished at minus seven when the scores when everybody was going backwards, he was able to bounce back and finish that solo second. That was great. Fleetwood shooting up the leaderboard on Sunday, that was cool. Let's talk Max Homa a little bit. This was the first time that Max Homa was really in the mix at a major championship. And I know he was probably disappointed on Saturday shooting a, I can't remember if it was 73 or 74, but he was, but he didn't have a birdie for that round, but he didn't play himself
Oh,
out of
that's
it
what it was.
either.
It was one bogey.
One bogey. Yeah.
It was
17 pars, one bogey,
bogeyed
but
12, yeah.
He didn't play himself out of the tournament. Obviously, he's probably disappointed, realized he really had a chance there to go out and win. But this was the first time that Max had really been in the mix of a major championship. Now, he's had some pressure. He's played in a couple of Ryder Cups, so that was great. But I think this was a great stepping stone for him to build that confidence in himself. You know, he even said he was really proud of the way that he played this week. He had to remind himself that he's a dog. And I think he reminded to us that he's a dog, that he has the game, he has the talent. It's just a matter of putting it all together. I think he's gonna sneak one major championship in his career. I don't know, probably some sort of PGA or US Open. I mean, it'll be great if he slips on the jacket, but I think it proves that, you know, for a guy who had probably frankly struggled a little bit in the last 12 months after shooting up the world ranking points, this was a great week for Homa with a lot of great takeaways, and he made a lot of fans this week.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever really played well in a major, like you said. So seems like he has a game. He's what, a top 10 player in the world, and
He
probably
finally
one of the
proved
most
it.
well, yeah. Probably one of the most well-liked guys on tour, so it'd be fun to see him being able to compete in majors moving forward. Yeah, Max is the man. There was part of me that was just like, can this guy, I kind of looked at the leaderboard. I was like, who can beat Scotty tomorrow? Like, truly, who can beat him? And I had a hard time answering that question. That it turned out to be true, but no, he's got game for sure, and it was good to see him. Super humble guy too. That's what you love to see. You know, I think he's got a lot of really likable quotes, you know, from this weekend, and he's a funny dude as well. So good guy to root
Absolutely.
for.
Another guy we touched
We
on
want to talk a
earlier.
little.
Well, yeah, well,
Yeah, go ahead.
Morikawa, a little disappointed in that finish, especially from a guy who does have two majors under his belt. Now I think that just proves Augusta is a different beast altogether. Like, you can go out and win other major championships. A lot of people have, you know, even some of the guys on the commentary, like Curtis Strange, Brooks, I think, is another great example. You can go out and win major championships, but winning at Augusta National is just a different beast altogether. And so I think Morikawa learned that this week, and being in the mix, not only in a major but at the Masters, it's just different. It just is.
I had kind of a weird take with Morikawa, and it's not fair at all either. But to me, something about him having two, more or less three majors if he won this week, that just doesn't seem right. Like, it feels like how did that happen? Like, it's not fair for me to say this, but it seems like he is not good enough to have two majors.
I sent your text to a couple other people, and everybody hearted it. So
Really?
it's not a bad take.
Yeah, there was just, and then you add on three with a green jacket. I would have been like, you know, it's almost like the Brooks winning US Opens and PGA championships. It's kind of like, how does this happen? Like, how does this guy keep winning these? Granted, Collins are only two, but I think he's one of those guys that's insanely talented and is going to have a Hall of Fame career, but something about those two majors that he won were early and he had good weeks, and it almost feels like it's too good for his resume. It's so unfair to say, but it seems like I'm getting some support on this because something just feels kind of weird. And if he won three, my mind would have been blown. You know, that's more majors than Dustin Johnson. That's tied with Spieth. You know, some crazy stuff, more than JT. Like, that's some crazy stuff out there. So, more than Scotty. You know, it's now he's tied with Scotty. I mean, it's kind of crazy that he has that same resume, but it doesn't really add up.
Also, if he would have won this week, he'd be one major short of the career Grand Slam. You know, we talk about the career Grand Slams, right? Who right now, who are the active players who are capable of winning the career Grand Slam? I think only three. Jordan Spieth, he needs a PGA
PGA.
Championship. Phil Mickelson, if you want to count Phil, needs a US Open. And then Rory
Who's that
McIlroy
guy
needs
that has to win the
Masters.
Masters? Yeah,
T-Bone, I think that might be a
that
decent transition here. Rory McIlroy,
guy.
he was your pick. We are still riding for Rory. I think you're going to pick him every year for the next 15 years until he's Phil and Tiger's age. What was your takeaway of his performance this week? Obviously, I mean, disappointing. If he doesn't win, it's a disappointment. But dude, he wasn't even sniffing the leaderboard.
No, I'm trying to see. We just did a quick glance. T22 plus four.
Stuff.
For him, it's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. I mean, he was struggling to make the cut, and it just kept moving.
Yeah.
I truly thought he was going to miss a cut. He hit in the water on like 11 or 12 or something on the back nine on Friday when it was really starting to get tight, and just kept falling back to him, thankfully. But man, it sucks because there's just additional pressure always and forever until he wins this. Masters is, we've talked about this so much. I mean, there's just always going to be added pressure for this tournament, and you don't need it for this tournament, but he's always going to have it. So, man, it's going to be a special day when it happens, but I need to quit getting my hopes up because, I mean, what was it, 2 years ago? He had a top five finish. I think it was the last time Scotty won.
Yeah, I finished second.
That was when he chipped in from the bunker and did that goofy ass celebration.
Yeah, when Faldo early
But
called it too.
yeah, the last 2 years have been duds. Yeah, oh, it's horrible. Horrible. But I guess he had that finish. But I feel like other than that, it's been a lot of duds, always going off of recency bias with Rory at the Masters. So man, it's gonna be a great day when he does it.
Even in a weird way
Hope he gets
too.
it done someday, but
Yeah, the mass. It's not at this point. It's not just the Masters, dude. We're coming up on a decade, of Rory McIlroy not winning a major championship, unless you want to count his players in 2019, which I might. But he has not won a major championship in a decade. We were in college last time that happened. That's crazy, man. That is absolutely nuts. It doesn't make sense to me. So, look, if he can win a major this year, that would, I think, take just some pressure off of him. It doesn't even have to be the Masters at this point, but just win
It's a great
one
point.
major
It's a great point.
and then focus on the Masters, because then you're like, okay, I know what it's like to win again. Like, and dude, he's been so close in the other tournaments. Like, especially let's the British Open comes to mind at St. Andrews when Cam Smith
Oh,
won. Dude, right there.
so much
Right?
pain. So much pain. Yep.
It was, yeah, to your point, just disappointing. It's going to be a disappointment every year unless he slips on the jacket. And
Yep.
he was the last person to check in this week. He was number 89 out of 80 or 88 out of 88 participants. And because usually he doesn't show up for a tournament until Tuesday. So, in the past, he's tried to get there way early over prep. This year, he was like, hey, I'm going to treat it like a regular week. And the thing about a major, especially at Augusta, it's not in every week. It's not in every tournament week. I get the mindset, stick to your routine. He probably knows the course well enough now, but I don't know what he's got to do. He's got to see some different shrink or keep working with Butch Harmon, or I don't know what he's got to do, but he's got to figure it out, man, because I think he will look great in that jacket. But until further notice, I don't think I can pick him. Like, I need to be proven wrong. And that sucks. But like, I'm not ready to pull the Michael Scott of I'm ready to get hurt again. I just don't think I can handle it.
No, I think that's a great point. I forgot about the major drought just because I've been focused on the Masters, obviously, but I think that's a good point. Win another one first, then get your
Yeah.
green jacket because, man, he's got the FedEx Cup, which is a big tournament. He's been close and a lot of majors, but man, I think that'll ease the tension a little bit. But man, both are just a lot of pressure right now, and it's just added pressure that he doesn't need. But that's what you get when you're Rory McIlroy. But hey, I mean, who would have thought it would take Tiger 10 plus years to win a major too.
Yeah.
So, granted, Rory wasn't, hanging out with Applebee's waitresses and driving cars into shit. He's just being Rory.
Oops.
But yeah, I tried to make that as clean as I possibly could. Anywho, man, I would love for him to get one this year. Isn't where's the PGA Championship? Valhalla?
Valhalla, Kentucky,
Okay.
which he won there in 2014. That was his last major win, was at Valhalla.
Okay. It sounded familiar, so that could be a good one next month.
Yeah, absolutely. T-Bone, since we're talking about disappointments here, here's a couple other disappointments that I had. Let me see if I can find my picture real quick that I sent to some friends. Notable missed cuts this week at the Masters. Justin Thomas, Wyndham Clark, Justin Rose, who we sneakily could, but nah, I don't know. Justin Rose, Victor Hovland, your defending FedEx Cup champion, Sam Burns, Brian Harman, Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Miguel Angel, or who made it? The Spanish guy. Why am I not Miguel Angel Jimenez? Gosh, this is gonna. Jose Maria Olazabal, he made the
Oh, he
cut.
made the cut?
He made the
Wow.
cut. He plays one competitive tournament a year, and that's the Masters. He hits the ball like 220. He made the cut. And here's the thing:
Man,
half of these
golf.
guys were on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. JT, Wyndham Clark, your defending U.S. Open champion. Brian Harman, your defending British Open champion. Jordan Spieth. Sam Burns. Those were all Ryder Cup players. And then off throwing DJ in that mix too. Like, no wonder we got our ass kicked in Rome. These guys can't even make the cut at the freaking Masters. It's crazy. Out of all those guys here, by the way, worth noting, JT, the fact that he was even par for the tournament and then proceeds to go whatever it was, like double bogey, double bogey, bogey, double, like. The fact they missed the cut is nuts. That doesn't make sense to me. Jordan Spieth, dude. What is going on with Jordan Spieth? He is such a mental pretzel right now. He is all messed up in the brain. And there's talks of injuries too. Maybe his wrist is giving him problems. But man, if there's one place that Jordan can string it together, it's Augusta National. And he was an absolute no-show this week.
I want to give Wyndham a slight pass because he's a rookie, but I also don't want to give him credit because he talked shit about Liv and then couldn't back it up.
Yes.
So that was kind of a bummer, but I liked to see that tenacity from him. Jordan, JT, I was talking about this with my brother. Are these guys, you even throw Sam Burns there? So I think Zach Johnson's, I don't think anyone was upset with him for his captain's picks. I don't think anyone would have been like, oh, you should have, maybe picked Keegan. But honestly, I think we're focused on the wrong things, maybe. Like, I
Okay.
think he was trying to pick the good vibes, the crew that's together. I mean, the fucking people he's eating dinner with the whole episode during Full Swing. It's Ricky, JT, and Spieth. It's
Yes.
like, how are you not gonna pick them? And it felt a little boy band-ish, and now it's kind of like, are these guys real or not? Like,
So true.
you picked them because they're playing well, sure, but are they killers anymore? Not right now. They played like shit there. They played like shit in the Masters. I think Zach Johnson, I haven't thought about his captain's picks as, why he was bad. They think it's for other reasons, but I think we should focus more on the captain's picks than, whatever the hell else is going on. But,
Yeah.
I think to sum it up, it's a complicated issue. No one can, it's hard to get right, but that was something me and my brother talked about. Did they just get the popular kids in school on the team? It kind of looks like it now.
Right. I mean, his captain's picks were Sam Burns, miscut, Ricky Fowler, who made the cut on the number because that's because the cut came back. He was first group out on Saturday. Brooks Koepka, which he should have been picked. Colin Morikawa, he didn't play well in Rome, but like probably he's definitely worthy of a pick. And then JT and Spieth. Ah man, yeah, he went with the locker room guys, team camaraderie. When what's interesting, I thought about was that Bryson wasn't even considered for a captain's pick at that point, but maybe he should have. He shot a 59, and then he's in. I know it's hindsight, and like this is 6 months later or whatever, but like he's in contention at the Masters. Like maybe he needs to be really considered for it. Like, don't just brush the live guys off for an international team competition yet. I know it's hard to compare apples to it's like comparing apples to oranges, but look, if you can play, you can play. And at that point in
This
that
is
level,
this
and for
is
guys
this
who've been
that
around so long, you know who can play.
yeah. All full dis this is a full disclosure. This is Monday morning quarterback, whatever. Coulda, woulda, shoulda, but now that, we're seeing it all play out, it's something to think about because I don't know about these guys anymore. I
Yeah.
mean, it's been a while since they played well. Granted, JT won a major, was it last year, 2 years ago? So, anyways.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's a great analogy. Monday morning quarterback, for sure. It's always easier. Hindsight's 20/20. But anyway, those are just guys that you expect to see in the mix. And they just weren't even there. Maybe we'll give Wyndham a pass, but you can't talk like that and then not miss the cut. Like you can't do that. Brian Harman just, I think he forgot how to play golf for 2 days, or at least one day. I think he played okay on that Friday, but and yeah, the whole thing was nuts. I don't know if Sam Burns was distracted by the fact that his wife is also about to give birth. Maybe his mind was somewhere else. But look, Scotty was able to do it. So I don't know. It's a weird situation because those are guys you expect to play well, who obviously still have world-class talent. And especially Jordan, man, I'm worried about Jordan. Something's not right. I don't, it could be health related. I don't know if he needs a new swing coach or whatnot, but it feels like Spieth's best days are behind him, and he's only 31 years old. That is crazy.
He's got to figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. All right, T-Bone, I think that actually transitioned us pretty well. Speaking of the captain, Zach Johnson, how about those comments that Zach Johnson had? For those who didn't see, on number 12 on Friday, he's like flirting around the cut line. He proceeds to make triple bogey, picks his ball up out of the hole, looks back across 150 plus yards to the patrons, and yelled, F you. He swore at the patrons. And later on in an interview, he was asked about it. He was like, what are you talking about? I didn't cuss anybody out. Like, the whole thing was so bad. Tebow, what are your thoughts on the former captain for Team USA, which the video clearly looks like he is dropping a hard F-bomb at the patrons?
I'm concerned. This is the most uncharacteristic Zach Johnson thing ever. And look, I have backed Zach Johnson as much as I can. Let's go back to the Ryder Cup for a little bit. We're talking about the captain's picks. That's up for debate. It looks like now that wasn't the best. But granted, I don't know who else was that better of an option. Keegan Bradley from Full Swing was definitely a viable option. Bryson, were those realistic? Would many other people pick those people? Probably not. So with that, I'm giving Zach Johnson a lot more passes than other people should. We almost lost the fucking Ryder Cup on Friday. I mean, it was not even close.
It
It
wasn't.
does not matter who he played or how he played them. They got smoked.
Yep.
So the hate he got was really hard for me to get behind. Now, Zach Johnson is probably one of the, I think of him as a homegrown Iowa Midwestern guy who's pretty level-headed. And you saw him have a run-in at the Waste Management, and now you've seen it at Augusta. Not ideal.
Spice.
Yeah, and these guys get. You know, these guys get a lot of shit, and the bigger you are, the more attention you're gonna get. Like we're talking about with the Rory and the pressure on the majors and Tiger in general, and when you're a Ryder Cup captain, you just lay a total egg. You're gonna get some shit, and it looks like he is just not handling it well because Yeah, there was clearly some chirping going on, and how he handled that interview was not ideal either. So
No.
I'm concerned. It's making me think more and more that he probably wasn't the right guy for the job. But I do want people to pump the brakes because we didn't have a chance to talk about this. The full swing did not do justice of how bad this team got their ass kicked, regardless of who played what against who. They got fucking smoked. There was like 10 minutes on Sunday where it could have been the greatest comeback of all time when Max made a putt on like 18 to win the match. But I mean, other than that, these guys didn't have a shot in hell of winning this Ryder Cup, and I don't blame Zach Johnson for that.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, the guy's got to hit the shots, right? I think it's that simple. Like when Scottie Scheffler and Brooks Koepka are losing 9-7, like there's nothing, or 9-8, whatever it was, and he's the best player in the world. We just were singing Scottie's praises this week, deservedly so, but he got his ass kicked at the Ryder Cup too,
Yep.
by Åberg, if I'm not mistaken. So yes,
Was it and Victor?
I think so. So I agree with
Yeah.
you there,
Yeah, they smoked him.
but there's absolutely no doubt that ZJ has not handled the response well, based off what we saw at the WM. And now the Masters, and the patrons were tough on him. There's a Reddit thread going around. Somebody was there witnessing it happen, and people were saying like, Zach Johnson, you can't even coach in the WNBA, or just throwing chirps at him, right? But dude, if you got it, he's been around long enough, and he's been a part of losing Ryder Cup teams as an assistant captain and player, if I'm not mistaken, to where like, he kind of knew what was coming. But Zach Johnson was one of the most likable guys, I would say, on tour. You know, he's a man of outspoken faith, super nice, likable, homegrown Iowa kid. But man, he is becoming more and more unlikable as each week progresses with more interactions that come on. And it's tough to see. It's a little bit of a fall from grace, if you will. And because I know he's still a good guy, like a good Christian man. It's just not a good look.
It's tough. I don't know if he's the right guy for the job as much as I've tried to defend him, but the team sucked too. So I would encourage the listeners to keep that in mind as well. The team sucked too.
Yeah. It's just one of those where he was like trying to straddle the fence of like, no, I didn't do that. He was like, but if the video says it, then like, I'm not going to deny it. It's like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? The whole thing was crazy. Like, it just didn't make sense. Like, just own up to it at a certain point, because there are billion and one cameras at Augusta. They're literally videoing every shot. You just got to own it. And it's just bad look for another bad look for Zach Johnson right now. T-Bone, I'd be remiss if we don't bring up Mr. Eldrick Tiger Woods for the Masters. Obviously, making the cut was a huge accomplishment. That round that he put together on Friday was amazing. I was enthralled with it. When everybody's struggling, high scores, he goes out and shoots an even par 72. And it was a person who knows that golf course like the back of his hand, putting it in the right spots, putting on an absolute short game clinic. It was so much fun to see and to watch. He makes Now owns the record for the most cuts made consecutively at Augusta National with 24, with the man who has played one round of golf, one round of competitive golf this year, not even a tournament, a round. It was amazing. And that Friday was great because I think at Riviera, he played 24 holes. And I think he played 24 holes on Friday. Like he played more rounds of golf, more holes in one day than he had the entire competitive year. And he still made the cut. Then he proceeds to shoot his highest round ever in a major championship with 82 on Saturday. But it didn't matter because he still made the cut. He was there. I think it was a good takeaway for Tiger. And I guess next time we'll see him will be at the PGA Championship in Kentucky.
Insanely impressive. I didn't think he was going to win, but after the Friday round, I was like, this is interesting. This is interesting.
Yeah.
And, it just didn't pan out. 82 is tough. It's just tough.
Yep.
But, he's a legend. I hope we can keep watching him play for a little while. And it's also cool to see Charlie helping him out with some drills on the range on Sunday.
So
That's a
cool.
pretty cool clip right there. So, man, we got to enjoy the Tiger moments at Augusta while we can. I'm not sure how many we're going to have left, but yeah,
Yep.
it's good to see him out there. Good to see him out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, because there's a period of time he was so injury hobbled that he wasn't even showing up for the champions dinner. So yes,
Yep.
every time we get to see him on the grounds there, it's a treat. It's a pleasure. So
Yep.
congrats to Tiger for setting the record. The man, that just proves he's so mentally strong, and he wants it. He still wants to win one more time. He still thinks he has one more in him. And look, I'm not gonna say no, because everybody's written him off before and he's proven him wrong. But we're coming up on 5 years since his most recent major win. That feels like a very short 5 years. That feels like it was just a couple years
Yeah,
ago.
it's kind of scary.
Right. So I personally don't think it will happen, but if it does happen, I would not be surprised, because if anybody can do it, it's Tiger Woods.
Agreed. Agreed.
T-Bone, a couple other things I want to highlight here before we get out of here. How about dadgummit, where's low amateur Neil Shipley getting to play with Tiger Woods on Sunday? What an absolute treat. Congrats to Neil Shipley, the Ohio State grad student. He finished second, I believe, at the US AM to gosh, what's his name? He won earlier this year, the amateur. How am I blanking on his name? He missed the cut.
Bama guy. I can't remember either.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up here while we're doing it. But I mean, what a cool little story there, that he got to play with Tiger Woods. We were just saying we don't know how much more he's gonna be out on the course, but Lo Am goes out and wins, or he goes out
Nick
and plays
Dunlap.
Sunday. Yes, Nick Dunlap. So he finished second at the US Amateur to Nick Dunlap. But he's the only amateur to make the cut and got to play with Tiger on Sunday. It doesn't get much better for Neil Shipley there. So I just want to give some props to Neil.
Yeah, it was great. His post-grad interview was so
Oh, yeah.
weird.
In
So
Bubba
weird.
Cabin.
Yeah, no, that and then even in the press room, when someone asked him about the note from Tiger and he pulled one of these.
Yeah.
And then he said, "No, Tiger didn't give me anything." I think he was on the Pat McAfee show today and told the backstory behind it, but that was so weird. The guy gives me the creeps a little bit, but yeah, congrats to Nate Shipley. But I also saw a clip of him, and it looks like he's a big fan of the Waffle House, so I respect the hell out of that.
Dude, gotta love it. Show the Waffle House's two props, my man. Big shouts to the Waffle House
Absolutely,
fans
absolutely.
out there. So another aspect I wanted to bring up, T-Bone, since you are the fashion guy here, what did you think of Jason Day's fashion this whole week? Wearing the baggy pants, the sweater, which I'm sure you saw. Apparently he got asked to remove the sweater by a member. Augusta National asked them to take it off. I
Yeah.
thought it was hilarious. What were your thoughts on Jason Day's fashion?
I like the effort. But it was kind of bad. It was kind of bad. I'm all for, like, a few years ago, Adam Scott started wearing pleats and they looked great. But they were like 90s pleats. These were like MC Hammer like parachute pants, and they looked like rain pants too.
Yeah.
That wasn't good. And then I could not be more behind an old school vest at Augusta. When it has that shit on it, and Augusta tells you not to wear it, it's not the right vest. I can promise you that. So I like Malbon's stuff from time to time, but that was a little too weird for me. I do think it's cool that they're, I mean, it's getting noticed and they're making a brand, but man, they could do it a lot better. Give me 15 minutes and I can do a few touch-ups to that those outfits for 4 days and make it 1,000 times better.
Yeah, it didn't help how windy it was the entire time with those baggy pants. It did not do him any favors whatsoever.
No, not ideal. Yeah,
I mean, look, if you want to bring it back, that's fine because fashion like does tend to cycle over. Maybe it's time to bring some of the baggy pants back, but I don't know. Yeah, it was not a great look. But I guess I'm more okay with the baggy pants than the vest. The vest, it bothered me a little bit, I'm not gonna lie. And I don't know why. I don't have a good reason for why it bothered me. The fact that maybe it was the lettering, whatever it said.
It looked like it was like a championship memorabilia or like some team related sport. It didn't look like a golf vest, or like cricket or something. It looked like a team sport of some sort, and that it just
What
did
it's
not fit the vibe of the biggest golf tournament in the world.
what it say? I can't even
Said like Melbourne Golf Championship.
Yeah, it looked like a NFL jersey that was slapped on a vest. It had like number 313. I'm looking at it right now. Just not a great vest. I look, if you're gonna wear, I'm with you. The sweater vest at Augusta is probably the play, honestly. I love that. It was just not the right kind.
No, they messed it up. The pants were, they had a good try, but not didn't do it quite right. And I appreciate the hustle, but they got some work to do, for sure.
Right. How about the fact that, gosh, Payne Stewart wore a tuxedo one time when playing in the Masters? Did you see those pics floating around?
I've seen
People.
that. That's been sent to me many a times. That's
Yeah.
so good.
Man, rest in
So
peace, Payne
good.
Stewart. But that's probably more acceptable than what Jason Day was wearing with that vest for some reason.
Yeah, that was classy. No, that was some good stuff. If I could still have the Payne Stewart attire out there today, that'd be incredible. But Bryson had his go at it, and it was so weak. It was just terrible. But no, I do appreciate the effort from Jason Day in Melbourne. I think there's potential there, but for the most part, it was pretty bad.
Yep, I agree. T-Bone, other parting thoughts? Good week for Will Zalatoris. Kind of a trendy hot pick. Came back with an even par. I think he shot like four under on Sunday. So it's good to see him back kind of near the top, especially since he kind of struggled this year so far coming off his injury. Xander Schauffele, I don't really know what to make of Xander on this. I think it's kind of what we were saying. Like he had potential to be in the mix at some points, just never really got over the hump. It kind of reminded me of the players where he was just around, but then never made that next step to really, push himself over the edge. So just worth noting. And then another notable name was Cam Smith, the LIV guy. Pretty good tournament, maybe disappointing for him, considering at one point he was three under when everybody was at six. Like he could have made a charge, but then end up going one over the rest of the way out after he eagled the second hole of the day. But come major championship time, he's a guy you can't forget about. That's all I wanted to say on Cam Smith.
No, he had a good week. I think him and Bryson were kind of the only live guys up near the top. It's easy to forget about them, but they still have game.
Yep.
Joaquin, top 22. There were some good guys here and there, but not the best showing from live this week. But yeah, they're still there.
So I think that's all that I have here for major storylines. T-Bone, did I miss anything before we get out of here?
No, I think that's about it. I think we hit on a lot of the main points. Trying to think.
Overall, I thought the course played great. This was a different Masters than most, with the fact that, like, usually you'll see the winner more about 14, 15 under, Scotty winning at 11, and then Lovberg at 7. Nobody else really. I think third place
Yeah.
was minus 5. That's just a different Masters than what we've been accustomed to seeing here. And I think I'm okay with that. A big reason for that was Friday with the winds being so high. It was just
Yep.
the scores played more like a major championship while still at Augusta. And so it was just different. And I like that. It presented a different
Yeah.
perspective. And it just shows, again, how challenging Augusta can be because. Especially that I thought it was really interesting, actually, that the back nine played harder statistically than the front nine. Usually, I think the back nine is more quote unquote gettable than the front nine. Usually, the higher I feel like the higher scores, the harder holes are probably more on that front nine. But the back nine played tougher this year, and that's just different the most. And I think I like that.
Yeah. No, it's kind of crazy to see, an opening around 65, 7 under, and it didn't go that much lower than that. So these guys grinded for sure. I feel like I saw less eagles on 13 the normal, except for Scotty's on Saturday. That was pretty badass. That's when I was like, okay, he's not going away. But man, I think just in general, if you're Scotty and if you're buying into the Scotty's as Tiger thing, I think my biggest takeaway is like, look how quickly it can go away and you can become, Jordan Spieth. This was special, doesn't last forever, and enjoy it while you can because golf is a fickle bastard of a game. And things can change quick. And people forget that Spieth was as dominant as Scotty is right now. And things can change really quick. So good to see you got the green jacket again. Love to see him partying at the dive bar back in Dallas. And a little underwhelming, but overall, I think a very deserving Masters champion.
I talked to some other people this week, just getting feedback, their thoughts and takeaways on the Masters, and I think it was kind of the same. We were wanting more excitement on Sunday, and it just didn't happen. Because Scotty did what he had to do and everybody else fell back. And so I think that
Yeah.
played a little bit of a factor in it, especially on the, because they say the Masters doesn't start until the back nine on Sunday. And it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen this year. And that's okay.
Yeah. When you birdie 9 and 10 and everyone else makes mistakes, back nine just becomes a victory parade. And that's kind of what we watched.
And the ratings reflected that actually. The ratings came out this year, for this year, and the numbers were low.
Yep.
I think part of that, just as a is part of the broader conversation, people are tired of golf at the moment with this
Yep.
whole LIV split. You would think that, hey, this is the Masters. Everybody is back under the same roof, playing on the same golf course. Best players in the world once again on the same course. And the number, I think it shows the importance of getting a merger done and getting everybody back together because the numbers were down.
Yep.
And part of it was that Scotty dominance that didn't have that excitement. But I mean, look, as golf fans, we nerd out over Ludwig being in the mix. We nerd out over Fleetwood and Homa and Morikawa, but those aren't necessarily the household names for the non-golfers. They want to see your
Yep.
Tiger Woodses. They want to see it. Jon Rahm is probably more of a household name. They want to see Rory McIlroy. They just weren't in the mix this year. And it's so, but it, look, I say all that. It's nothing to take away from what Scotty did. It's not his job to put eyeballs on the TV and high ratings. There's got to be that perfect storm of it. But I think the ratings reflect again of this overall arching problem that golf has at the moment. And Scotty's doing his part to rectify it by dominating, but golf needs to figure it out. And that was my takeaway, at least whenever the ratings came out.
Yep. Again, it's not going to take anything to get me glued into the Masters, and I think you got to be a golf fan to really enjoy this week. when it finishes like this, but you know, it, back nine on the Masters when there's a little more juice, it's must watch TV. So hopefully it was an off year, but it very well could not be. But yeah, I think changes have to be made, and Scottie Scheffler doesn't have to blow out the field on the back nine
Yeah.
for it to get better. But yeah, can't really control that.
I just thought of something, T-Bone. Vern Lundquist. This is the last broadcast with Vern Lundquist. 40 years at the Masters. Some of the best calls, most iconic calls. You know, you think of Jack Nicklaus's Yes, Sir on 17. Tiger Woods's In Your Life. Have you seen anything like that? No. Vern Lundquist is one of the best to ever do it. He called all those SEC games for
Yep.
CBS, called the Masters for so long. I love how Tiger went and shook his hand. Respect to Vern Lundquist, and thank you for all the years of calling the Masters.
Yep. Legend. Loved seeing Tiger shake his hand. Also made one of the best memes ever. But yeah, no, that was awesome. He's gonna be missed. Absolute
Absolutely.
legend.
And I think that's a pretty good note to end it on. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. You know, I watched Chairman Ridley's press conference. I love seeing that. I think he has a great pulse on what is happening in the world of golf. Seems like they're doing a lot of stuff right now behind the scenes that, you know, there wasn't anything that was worth, you know, they talked about the patch, they talked about a few other things, but nothing really, I would say, noteworthy moving forward for the what's rest or for the rest of golf. You know, it came out a report last night that Rory McIlroy was considering going to LIV for $850 million. Wow, that's so much money. That is nuts. But then he comes out today and says that's absolutely not true. Just thought that was interesting. It's almost like,
Yep.
hey, back to regularly scheduled programming of who's going to LIV and who's not.
Yep. 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 Wasted no time.
Right. Again, T-Bone, that's all I got. Phenomenal week. Congrats to Scottie Scheffler for winning his second green jacket. And I wish them best to him and Meredith on their expecting kid. Fatherhood's
Yeah.
great.
Yeah, best of luck to the Schefflers. Best of luck to the Schefflers. I think me and Scotty T had a little Masters hangover. I think that's what you should name this episode too. But I had to record from the couch. I think our Wi-Fi connection hasn't been the best. I don't know on whose end, but this was your Masters hangover. But hey, not a bad follow-up with RBC. I've always liked this tournament. And before you know it, we'll have PGA Championship next week. Or sorry, next month, so.
Wow. How about that? Crazy times here. Not sure when we'll be back, but we'll be back. Not next week, then probably the week after, because, you know, May is a crazy time. I got graduation. Shout out to all the NBA guys that you listen. You know, the best. Shout out to Tulsa. Shout out to Drew. Great comment. And Darren for some great conversation this week. To Fortnite for Life guys. Y'all rock. Anybody else who I forgot, you know, it was a great week. I love the Masters chatter. Everybody gets excited over it and appreciate the insights. And we appreciate you, the listeners, for tuning in every single week. Go subscribe on YouTube, 5-star review on podcast. And because then right after me for graduation, I'm off to Scotland, man. So it'll be nice. So hopefully we'll have some Scotland content coming your way
Oh,
on the gram.
yes.
So that's where I go follow us at 300 Par Pod.
Three under par pod.
T-Bone, any last
No.
parting thoughts?
It was a great Masters. Great kickoff to the golf season. I think we'll get over this hangover day after Christmas, and we'll be ready to rock in just a bit.
Boom, another successful week sending us off for the golf season, especially here, full rocking. So everybody hit it hard, shoot low scores. I'm Scotty T for T-Bone, and remember,
little white balls like